Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
I got to live my life like Jesus is coming back. Now, please, I'm not trying to suggest for a moment that the answer is for us to retreat somewhere to a monastery or a cloister. No, no, no. Jesus wants us involved in the daily life. But listen, our involvement in daily life is filled with the faithfulness of saying, I want to be found being faithful to Jesus just like I am right here, right now, today. One of the great things you can just simply do is to do your duty focused on Jesus. That's another way to be ready for his return.
Do you live your life filled with the expectancy for the return of Jesus? Jesus told a story about servants being prepared for the return of their master, and that should be our attitude concerning his second coming. We'll learn the importance of us being alert and ready, as nobody knows the day or hour of Jesus' return. Pastor David will teach the sense of urgency we should have to rescue people from the judgment. We don't want anyone to be surprised and caught unprepared. We want to be found faithful. Now, here's Pastor David with part one of his message, Witness of His Return.
Luke chapter 12 is really an amazing chapter, and we've already spent a couple Wednesday nights in it thus far. In the beginning part of the chapter, I would say the first 12 verses, you could say that Jesus talks to us about the right view towards persecution or opposition in our walk with him. Then in the second portion of it, he speaks to us about how to have the right view or the right attitude towards material possessions. And there was a lot to that section and very, you know, confronting to us in our day and age and in our own community. But then in the third aspect, he speaks now, the section we're going to give our attention to this evening, where Jesus speaks to us about the right attitude to have towards his return. And actually, there's a very good link between them, isn't there? Because especially between the idea of putting material things and our natural greed in the proper perspective, it has a great relevance towards this idea of being ready for the return of Jesus. I won't say that everybody who isn't ready for the return of Jesus is greedy or a materialist, but I would suppose that would be a common feature. You're just so happy with the things of this world that you're not longing for Jesus. You're not longing for his return and for the heavenly reality that awaits those who have put their trust in him. And so actually there's a great link between the concepts that he was speaking about previously in chapter 12 and now that we begin in verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 36, Jesus said that we should be like men who wait for their master. The idea that he's drawing on is a very simple and common one in the ancient world. You know, there are some cultures today, and it was much more true in the ancient world, that labor was cheap. And in these cultures where labor is so cheap, people just naturally have a lot of servants in the home. I'm not saying necessarily slaves, although in some culture that might be the case, but no, just servants in the home because labor is so inexpensive. So the idea here is of a household. In the household, there's a master to the house, but there's also many servants in the house. And the master is away at some business. In the illustration Jesus used, the master was away at a wedding, but he's going to come back to his house. And he needs to find the house ready, prepared, the servants at their work when he comes back. And Jesus is saying it's blessing, it's a good thing for those servants to be ready for the return of their master. Now, if they're going to have their focus now on the return of the master, it speaks to us about our great need to be ready for the return of Jesus. Friends, this is something worth putting our attention on. And I suppose right here at the outset. I suppose in my notes, I had it to talk about it later on in the message, you know, sort of build up to it. But sometimes you just throw that out the window and say, let's just get out the door right away. Let's just confront it head on. There are people who are disillusioned because Jesus hasn't returned yet. When I gave my life to Jesus as a young teenager in the mid-1970s, giggles from some. As a young teenager in the mid-1970s, there was such an expectancy of the return of Jesus. I mean, it was palpable. People were expecting Jesus to return. And there are not a few people who are disillusioned because they said, you know what, everybody was all excited about Jesus coming in the 70s or whenever, and he didn't come then. Now, my simple response is, okay, I understand how you were disappointed that Jesus hasn't come yet. I'm a little bit disappointed that Jesus hasn't come yet. He can come any time, as far as I'm concerned. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You can't come too soon for me. But on the other hand, I simply want to say, was it a bad thing for you to live in expectancy of the return of Jesus? Or was it a good thing? Did it breed an excitement about the Christian life? Did it help you to be more holy, more focused on the Lord, more excited about serving him? I think it's a very healthy thing to have an expectancy of Jesus' return. And I believe that Jesus in every generation gives people some reason to believe that he's going to come soon because he wants us to believe that he's coming soon. And so I just don't really accommodate the idea that we should be depressed or cynical, or discouraged because Jesus hasn't returned yet. I'll tell you what, the only thing I know for certain is that today we are one day closer to the return of Jesus than we were yesterday. And that should just make us happy. And people say, well, why didn't Jesus return back then when everybody was so excited? Well, just think about this. Let's just say, and I'll just throw out a date. Let's just say Jesus would have returned in 1978. First of all, there quite a few people who weren't even born yet. But I don't even want to talk to you people. If Jesus would have come in glory in 1978, how many of you would have never come to Jesus? An awful lot of you, right? Many. Now, I would have been in. So, look, it's fine with me. But do you see that attitude? It's kind of the attitude, you know, sometimes when people move to another place that they really love, they move there and they fall in love with the place and then they say, and I don't want anybody else to move there. It happens a lot, doesn't it? Well, it's kind of that way. Okay, now that I'm ready for the return of Jesus and I'm right with him, okay, now you can come, Jesus. But do you see if there's any sense in which it seems, and I'll only say it seems that Jesus delays his coming. I'm not going to say that Jesus is delaying his coming, but it might seem that way to some people. If there's any sense in which it seems like Jesus delays his coming, it's for one reason. It's so that more people can come into his kingdom and more people can be spared from the wrath to come. So all I can say is be ready. Be ready. When's the last time you thought about it? Jesus Christ could come soon. I need to be ready for his return. I need to be living a life that brings him glory right now because there's things that I can't do once Jesus returns and I'm united with him in glory. Do you realize that when you're with Jesus in glory in heaven, you're never going to be able to talk to anybody about Jesus and lead them to the Lord again? Your evangelism days are over once you're in heaven. Once you get to heaven, you will never be able to courageously bear suffering and discomfort for your Lord ever again. Those days are over. There are so many things that we have the privilege of being able to do right now that we won't be able to do in heaven. We should give our full attention focus to those things now, making ourselves ready for his coming. So that's why he says in verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. What does he mean by that? Well, the idea behind this phrase, I think, is very well expressed by the New International Version. It says this, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Be ready to move. Loins girded has the idea of you taking up the robes that they would wear back then and sort of fastening it around your waist with the belt so that you're ready to move, ready to work. Your lamp's burning so that you can see what work needs to be done. You're ready to move. You're ready to act. You're not falling down or falling asleep on the job, because there is a great reward. I would say, in the words that Jesus spoke to us right here, starting at verse 37, almost a mind-blowing reward for being ready. Let me read that to you again. Verse 37, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Jesus says to us that for those who are ready at his return, it's as if he's going to come to them and serve them. Jesus, would you really do that? Would you stoop down to serve me? Would you wash my feet? Would you feed me a meal? I should be serving you, Jesus. I'm the servant. You're the master. But Jesus says, no, as a display of my love and of my true nature as a servant, I will serve those who are ready for my coming. That's mind-blowing. And therefore, he says, verse 40, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We all know the embarrassment of being called on when we're unprepared. Maybe, you know, company shows up at the house and the house is a mess. Unexpected guests drop over. You find out, you show up to work and something was expected of you that you forgot. All kinds of things. As occasionally happens to me, you forget that you have an appointment and you don't show up for it. By the way, if you ever make an appointment for me and I forget about it, do not take it personal. It's happened to more than one person. I won't say it's chronic, but it's not totally unusual. So look, these guys, they're an embarrassment, aren't they? I was supposed to be ready for something. I was supposed to be anticipating, but I'm not ready. So Jesus says, this is the most important thing you could ever be ready for. Just like a thief never announces the exact time of his coming, you'll know that you shouldn't expect to know the exact time of Jesus' coming. So be ready. He'll come, as he's indicated, as the thief in an unexpected way. Verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant to whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and he'll cut him in two and appoint him a portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, will be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. This little section begins with Peter asking a question. Okay, Jesus, this whole business about being ready. Now, do you mean that for everybody, or do you just mean it for us, the special 12 apostles? And some people have kind of had a trouble picking out what Jesus' exact answer is to Peter's question. But I think it's included in this idea that Jesus said that everybody should be, as he said in verse 42, like a faithful and wise steward or manager. In a sense, Jesus is saying this, I'm speaking to everyone who wants to live their life in readiness as a faithful and wise servant of mine. Everybody who's a servant or a steward of what Jesus gives to them must be ready for his return. But might I say, it should be especially true of those who are in some kind of ministry or some kind of place of leadership among God's people. You better be ready. If you're going to call yourself a servant of God, then you better be ready for his return. But notice this in verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Friends, Jesus did not mean that in a good sense. A poor steward lives without the expectation of his master's return. And it shows in several areas of his life. Now, we'll talk about those areas, but again, let me just remind you, Jesus is speaking of a steward, a manager, and it's this idea. Let's say you're managing finances for a corporation. Shouldn't you manage those finances in such a way that if you were to be audited, the books would be good? Friends, here's the idea. You're going to be audited. You will. You'll be called in for an audit of your life. Here's the only problem. You don't know when it's going to happen. So live every day with your books, so to speak, in preparation. Now, there's some people who don't. And in verse 45, he talks about those who do not live in this preparation. The first thing he says about those who say, my master delays his coming, in verse 45, he says that they begin to beat the male and female servants. Those who aren't ready for Jesus' coming mistreat Jesus' other servants. Friends, one of the great ways you can be ready for the return of Jesus is to love your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I hope we never get very far away from that very simple message. Because if we do, then what are we? Without love, we're nothing. So how can I be ready for Jesus' return? Well, look, I think it's fine for you to study the prophecies of Daniel, and it's wonderful for you to research the book of Revelation, and it's great for you to make prophetic charts and compare and this and that, and to read the newspaper. I'm not saying do all of those things, that's fine, but don't you ever forget just to love your brothers and sisters. Isn't this the wonderful, most wonderful way to be ready for the return of Jesus? The second way he describes there in verse 45 is he speaks of those who just eat and drink. In other words, they're just preoccupied with the cares of this world. There's just something about the busyness and the routine of the day, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. It just has its own momentum, its own cycle, that it's very easy to get caught up in it all. And you never take a moment to say, listen, I got to live my life like Jesus is coming back. Now, please, I'm not trying to suggest for a moment that the answer is for us to retreat somewhere to a monastery or a cloister. No, no, no. Jesus wants us involved in the daily life. But listen, our involvement in the daily life is filled with the faithfulness of saying, I want to be found being faithful to Jesus just like I am right here, right now, today. One of the great things you can just simply do is to do your duty focused on Jesus. That's another way to be ready for his return. So first, love. Secondly, do your duty focused on Jesus. And third, I just got to mention it right here because he says it in verse 45. He mentions the guy who says, my master delays his coming, goes out and he gets drunk. Be sober. Don't give yourself over to intoxication. Now, Jesus clearly connected this readiness to his return with a life of love, spiritual focus, and self-control. Likewise, that heart that says, my master delays his coming, it's connected to this kind of low, compromising, fruitless, or lacking in love kind of life. And friends, I know that there are people who are weary of waiting for his return, or they're cynical about the return of Jesus. But this is exactly the attitude that Jesus warned against right here. Exactly. In the perception of some people, Jesus is delaying his coming. But friends, I just want to say, that's a bad attitude to have. Don't say that Jesus is delaying his coming. Say, Jesus is coming soon, and I need to be ready, and you need to be ready. And let it light a little fire under you, under me, and give us this idea that we need to have a sense of urgency in the way that we live our life for God. Our attitude should be, Jesus is coming soon, so we want to rescue people from the judgment that's going to come upon the world in the very last days. But notice this, verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him. Not looking for him. Look, here's the great message. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. He's going to come whether you're ready for him or not. So that's why you need to be ready. And when he comes, I'll just put it plainly because I don't think I'm going beyond the text here. But I think the Bible tells us that those who are not ready for the return of Jesus will be punished in some way. And those who are ready for the return of Jesus will be rewarded in some way. Notice this, what he says in verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Can I just kind of relate that for you here? The more you know, the more you're accountable for. Some of you are saying right now, I knew I shouldn't have come to this Bible study tonight. Why couldn't I be doing something else tonight? I've just made you all more accountable. You've heard the message as clear as anything from Jesus' word. And Jesus is telling this so that you can take it in, so that you can say, yes, Lord, I want to be ready. But how much more guilty is anyone if they really knew it, if they had it explained to them in a way that was very easy to understand? Yes, I need to be ready. And at the same time, they said, well, but I'm not going to get ready. That obviously is something very worse than the person who never really knew that they should be ready. He continues on, verse 49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in every house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus is really putting his finger on that refusal to divide in any sense. It's that refusal to separate. Notice what he began this section with, verse 49. He says, I came to send fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish that it were already kindled. Now, this is a very interesting passage because people wonder, what exactly is the fire that Jesus referred to here? And actually, I've heard three good suggestions as to what the fire may be. Some people believe that the fire Jesus spoke of was the judgment to come, because fire is sometimes an idiom of judgment in Hebraic thinking or in Hebraic writing. Other people think that the fire that Jesus spoke of was the spread of the good news and the coming expansion of the kingdom. You know, that couldn't happen until he went up into heaven. And so Jesus says, I'm so anxious for my gospel to spread across the world like a wildfire. That might be true. But I'll give you a third suggestion, which I think is probably has a little more weight to it than the other ones. The idea that the fire Jesus spoke of here is the power of the Holy Spirit that could only come after he had accomplished his work on the cross. You know, Jesus spoke in another passage of a baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it's no accident that when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in that very unique way on the day of Pentecost, that the emblem of the Holy Spirit upon them was a tongue as if it were a fire over their head. Jesus is saying that the coming of the Holy Spirit will be like a fire that comes upon the earth. And Jesus is saying, I wish it was happening right here, right now. But it's not going to happen, notice what he says there, until the baptism that he has to be baptized with is accomplished. Now, what does he mean by that? You say, well, wait a minute. We saw it way back earlier in the Gospel of Luke. Wasn't Jesus already baptized? What's he talking about here? Ladies and gentlemen, baptism in the Bible isn't just the act of putting somebody under the water as a physical illustration of what has happened to them spiritually, of their cleansing, of their death and resurrection with Jesus Christ.
There's much more Pastor David would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Enduring Word, the radio ministry of David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. Pastor David will continue teaching verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke next time. You can order today's message for free by emailing us at radio@enduringword.com. Again, that address is radio@enduringword.com. Sometimes it is just easier to call. Our phone number here at the church is 805-730-1400. We'll be happy to help you. Again, that number to call is 805-730-1400. Now, here's Pastor David with some great information about the Enduring Word Commentary Series.
Hi, this is Pastor David Guzik. Over the years, God has led me to write simple Bible commentary through almost the whole Bible. At EnduringWord.com, you'll find free Bible resources that'll help you as you study God's Word. We're making these commentaries available in written format as well as audio. Here's Josh with more information about how you can support Enduring Word.
Thanks, Pastor David. We'd like to encourage you to consider supporting Enduring Word by partnering with us with a one-time gift or monthly donation. Your support helps this program extend its reach worldwide. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Enduring Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. Next time, Pastor David will continue teaching through the Gospel of Luke. That's next time on Enduring Word.